grab Romans chapter number 8. So why am I grabbing? I don't know. It's just another way to say turn there. I don't know. Turn to Romans 8. In verse 1, this isn't even the message. I was just thinking about this verse when that last song that we sang, faith is the victory. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Hey, victory. Victory is had through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're struggling with something here today, it is good to know that Christ can help you. Yeah, say, my family or my personal or whatever it is, hey, Christ can help you. Yeah. I'm glad you're here today. And you say, well, you know, people at church have it all together. Lies, lies. I don't know who told you that, but they lied to you. No one at church has it all together. Amen. I was just walking, I stepped out for a second while we were singing, and I was walking down the hall. Mother was dealing with a three-year-old that was having a meltdown in Sunday school. Even three-year-olds don't have it all together. All right? That's just where it's at. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad glad we can go to the Lord to get help. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. The book of 1 Chronicles, if you just glance over chapter 1, see, I haven't heard a lot of preaching out of the early chapters of 1 Chronicles chapter number 1. If you look at it, I mean, you don't have to read it right now, but if you look at 1 Chronicles 1, it is a lineage. Say, what's chapter 2 about? Continued lineage. Chapter 3, also lineage. Say, well, you said chapter 4, and chapter 4 looks a lot like chapter 3. I'm a little nervous. And that's what I want to draw your attention to. Hidden, right? Not hidden, but tucked away in chapter 4 is this little bit of nugget of wisdom and insight that I think could be a help to us all. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse 5, and Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nera. And Nera bare him Ahuzam, and Hepher, and Temani, and Hashtari. These were the sons of Nera. Say, all right, good. The sons of Hela were Zereth, and Bezor, and Ethnan, and Koz begat Anub, and Zobabah. See, I'm not pleased with my name. Read this. You'll just feel good about yourself. And the families of Harel, the son of Haram. In verse 9, we're told about a person. Again, there's a tendency in our Bible reading to maybe scan, especially in chapters like this. Well, I'll just look for names that jump out to me, and maybe I'll stop there for a second or try and find someone that has a lot of consonants together and try and sound it out or whatever. But in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. And God, thank you for the victory that you offer through who you are. God, I know in myself no victory over sin. But through you, we are more than conquerors. God, thank you for that principle. Thank you for that promise. God, as we read the scriptures here today, God, I pray as we look at this little prayer by Jabez that we would make application to our own life. Get a good understanding of who you are and what role you ought to have in our life. Lord, bless the preaching of your word now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't know much about Jabez. We know a little bit of his lineage due to previous chapters or previous verses. But the Bible says this about his character in verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That means he has brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever. But there was something about him. Say, what was it? He was just that golden child. How many of you are the golden children? Rhonda, put your hand down. No. All right. You're just the favorite of the family. You could do no wrong. We were talking in our Sunday school class. First son, never had an opportunity to sleep in our bed. Never. Oh, never. If he came, he could be on his deathbed, put him back in his crib. No way. Last son spent more time in our bed than any other. But what happened? I don't know. I don't know. We got soft or something. Maybe you have a child. You say, well, they're just their personality. No, honor comes from decisions. He was honorable not because of his looks, not because of his demeanor, not because of any of that, but because of decisions he made about his life and his God. Say, well, I bet he started off good. That's not what the scripture says. If we read why he's named Jabez, the Bible says in verse 9, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. We don't know the circumstances. And I'm kind of glad we don't. Because maybe in your life you started with adverse circumstances. Maybe you started with a situation. Maybe you, the first breath you took into this world was a difficult life. Say, well, I guess my course has been charted. Not exactly so. Just because things start off difficult doesn't mean you can't be honorable and do right in the things of God. See, this world will try and give you every excuse. They'll try and diagnose and identify and all of those words and say, oh, no, no, you have license to do wrong. No, no. Jabez was born, his mother said, with sorrow. There's nothing more glorious than the miracle of having the treasure of a child. We talked about this Wednesday night. Seeing and identifying the needs of our children. We started in Psalm 127 of how beautiful and how wonderful and what a gift that is. And yet, Jabez's mom said this, I had him in sorrow. Was it her health? Was it his? Was it their financial situation? Was it their home situation? Was it because of it was a time of war or not peace or whatever it was? We don't know what it was. But this young boy came into the world with difficulty. Maybe that's your start. Maybe you started off with some difficulty. In the midst of your life, maybe things took a turn and say, that was beyond my control. I had no say over that. It was just life got hard. And that means, though, you still have an opportunity to be honorable. That still means that you have a chance to do right. I encourage young people all the time, break the mold. Well, my grandfather and my father, and now I'm... Hey, find out what God says and take that and apply it to your life. It will change the course of not just your generation, but the generations to follow. Jabez is mentioned here. He's not just a name on a page. We read a lot of names here that we don't have any other information about. We don't know what this person did or what that person did. It was just they were the next step to the next person. But God said, hey, let me tell you about a guy real quick. As we're reading this list, and I think he does things like this every now and then to just keep us reading, searching the scriptures, I'm going to tell you about a man. He started off in sorrow. But by his choices and by his decision towards me, he was more honorable than all his brethren. Indicating maybe that his brethren also had honor, but he was more honorable. Maybe they all took a turn and they all did well and they all, you know, I had lunch with some pastors and we were, remember Brother King? He came here a couple times. If you were here and Brother King was here, I know him. He is one of eight children. All seven of the other children are millionaires. They're geniuses. They've done amazing things with their life, doctorates and all that. He's the only one that's not a millionaire because he chose the ministry. God chose the ministry for him. And I wonder if God on that would look at it and go, yes, honorable, but Brother King, more honorable than his brother. I don't know, just as decision for the Lord. And you look at that. How did it start for you? Don't use that as an excuse. Jabez does something. He prays. He talks to God. In verse 10, it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Imagine if you prayed that to God. We read in the New Testament that warns us, don't pray amiss and all of that, and you're praying on heaping onto your own lust and fulfillment of your own pleasures, and it warns us. It would be difficult to make a conclusion of what would happen if the Lord didn't tell us. Because it could go one of two ways, and the Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. Begin our message here this morning in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Unfortunately, I think this is something that we as Christians have gotten away from. With all the information and all the knowledge that we have these days, God is almost an afterthought. I'm going to solve this problem my way. I'm going to figure things out. There's every resource disposable and available to me. I will seek out wisdom. I will get help. I will do. Where's calling on God? Hey, when your life starts off in sorrow, really the best thing you could just do is call upon the name of God. God, I'm going to need your help. So what do? When do you call on God? Do you call on the Lord? Well, I'm going to try and solve this problem myself, and if it doesn't go right, then I'll tell you, you'll save a lot of time if you just ask somebody that knows. When you're sick and hurting, when there's a problem to fix, do you call on the Lord? We have examples in the scriptures of those that called upon God and God did amazing things with. Elijah called upon God and consumed Baal, the prophets of Baal, and those that served him in 1 Kings chapter number 18. By Gideon calling upon the name of God, he was able to defeat the Midianites in Judges chapter number 7 and 8. Nehemiah was able to build the walls of Jerusalem all by the strength of the Lord. What Christianity lacks today are Christians that are humble enough to call upon God and then smart enough to allow the Lord to do the work. I'll call on God, but I'm still going to handle it. Don't do it. Imagine if Elijah says, God, I'm going to need your help, and I got this great plan. Here's what we're going to do. Gideon gets up, and there he is, threshing wheat, hiding in the wine press. God calls him, you're a most honorable man as you hide from your enemies. He says, I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. And he's like, great, I was just here, look at this. I'm drawing out they're here, we're here. No. That's not what happened, is it? God, I'm going to need your help. Can you guide and direct? Can you show? Can you lead? God, I'm going to need strength. So we go back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. I think sometimes the Lord allows sorrow to get our attention. I wonder if Jabez would have called upon God if everything was okay. I don't know. We'll ask him someday. But I know we can evaluate in our own life. It's either going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. What's it take for you to call on God? Well, it's got to be really bad for that to happen. I think we would be wise to call upon the Lord first. Jabez prays something that you and I maybe look at and go, that was kind of selfish. Do you feel that? Do you read that? I don't know. Maybe as a selfish person, I read that and I see selfishness. I don't know. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You know, when we pray, we try and stay humble. God, if you will, and, you know, I know you can, but if you could, you know, if you would. He's just out there. He says, God, will you bless me? There are some qualifiers in there. Look what he's asking for. He says, enlarge my coast. Again, we don't know Jabez's job or position. We do know this, that leadership is simply this, influence. Who are the leaders of the room? We're all leaders because we all have influence to some degree. Some way, somehow, our families, our homes, our friends, our neighbors, our community, our church house. You have some sort of influence. And that influence is leadership. And that leadership is influence. It goes back and forth. Somehow, some way, Jabez has some sort of influence. He says, would you enlarge my coast? You have to have coasts to have them enlarged. Is that not correct? He has some sort of jurisdiction. He has some sort of realm of influence. May we evaluate in our own life, as do we. So are we asking God to expand that? God, I'm reaching these people for you, but I would like to reach these people for you. I'm reaching this one for you, but I would like to reach these three for you. That's what I'd like you to consider here this morning. Asking God to enlarge your coast, your level of influence, your opportunity to influence other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're familiar with the proverb, Proverbs 29. Go there, please. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, what? The people perish. Hey, I'm glad Jabez says, hey, I don't want to just be satisfied with this. I'd like to expand out. I'd like to have more influence. I'd like to have more leadership. And as we'll go back to the passage, it wasn't for his betterment. He asked God, God, will you protect me from that? Because with greater influence, that could go to my head, that could go into my heart. I could get proud. I could get sideways with you. I could get dependent on riches and wealth and honor. And I want to stay humble with you. Hey, what a great, great position. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's a direct correlation between vision and the Word of God. Say, oh, I know which way I'm going. Not if the Word of God doesn't lead and guide you. If you start listening to this world and society, you'll be upside down, backwards, inside out. But God gives us vision. God gives us direction. May the idea of service to the Lord never be, I just want to maintain this coast. No, I want to expand. Imagine if the 12 just said, all right, this right here, in this room, right here, us 11, when Christ came back, we're gonna be strong together till the end. No, that was not the plan. You're to take this and you're to go out. You're to expand the coasts. Again, never is the idea to just maintain. It's never status quo. So I'm asking you, do you have vision? Say, Pastor, that's your job. That's all our jobs. We're all Jabez. We should all be looking to God saying, God, would you allow me to affect more for you? Well, you know, I teach that one Sunday school. Well, do more. Some people in our history that have not been satisfied with just a little. I was reading about David Livingstone this past week, and I'd just like to bring to your attention, he was a man of short stature. That struck a chord with my heart. He was the first white man to cross Africa west to east. It is said of him, his kindness was matched by none other. Must have to be confronted with what he was confronted with. He brought two races together, opened up the opportunity for the gospel. You know what? He heard preaching. He was in the UK. He heard preaching and said, God, would you allow me to expand the coast for you? And because of him, a continent was reached for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon was to England what Moody was to America. By the age of 21, he was the most popular preacher in London. Built the Metropolitan Tabernacle every single day. 2 to 3 souls were saved for many years. That wasn't just by Charles Spurgeon. That was everybody involved. Hudson Taylor. Hundreds of thousands had been affected for Christ by his life. If you read his stories, his prayer and faith and raising money was humbling. He founded the China Inland Mission. In 1888, he was invited to come to America by D.L. Moody. Could you imagine that meeting, Mrs. Parrott? Man. D.L. Moody introducing Hudson Taylor. I'd like to sit under that. Just listen to that. He had 3 months of meetings. By the time he was done, 14 families had packed their bags and were ready to go to China. Why? Because someone else's vision affected their heart to not be satisfied. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I would hate to see that verse say, here there is no vision, the people perish. Jabez had vision. God, would you bless me indeed and expand my coasts? In Psalm 37, and look in verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. Gentlemen, can I encourage you to lead your families in faith? Oftentimes we, as fathers and husbands, I'm just happy with peace. Why would I rock the apple cart, right? Things are going well. Kids are doing good. Wife is happy. And we're in church. And, you know, the bills are getting paid. And why bring a variable of faith into there? Because we're commanded and challenged to. In Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What ideas has the Lord placed in your heart for him? Well, I just want to maintain and do the bare minimum. I don't think that's God's plan. I think we should do as much as we possibly can for the cause of Christ. I think we should give it our all. I think we should pray like Jabez and say, God, if you would you bless me? Would you allow me? I'm not going to orchestrate it. I'm not going to come up with the ideas, but I need you to lead and guide. Would you allow me to expand my coast to influence others for your name? I'm not satisfied with just this the spot right here. Yes, I'm content where you have me, but God, I'd love to do more if you'd allow me to. Verse 4, it said, delight thyself also in the Lord. Hey, there's a direct correlation and tie between the joy of the Christian and our fellowship and obedience to God. Ever see a restless Christian? God's calling them to do something and they're not yielding to that. And that no joy. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 7, it says these reassuring words. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Look at this next phrase. And that thine hand might be with me. Hey, I don't want to go out and say, in the name of me, I'm going to go do this thing. No, no. By the mighty hand of God. I want to be strengthened. I want to take steps of faith. I want to demonstrate faith. I want to be an example of faith. I want to see God provide in ways that only God can. I want to see God to expand coasts and expand influence and influence more people like only God can. That no one would say, this guy did that, but God did that. That was the testimony of Jabez. He wasn't doing for his own personal gain. He's doing it for the honor and glory of God. Thy hand might be with me. Hey, the only way for that to happen is for you to be right with the Lord. He doesn't hold hands with dirty. We got to be clean and right before Him. So what are you asking the Lord for? I love that God has inexhaustible resources. Sometimes I forget that. Hudson Taylor says this, the simple and profound secret of drawing for every need, temporal or spiritual, upon the fathomless wealth of Christ. Sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I think the limit to God's ability is my limits. Far exceeds what I can provide. Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So does that mean He wants me to start a burger joint? Like, what are you talking about? No, it's just all His. The resources are endless. Influence. Maybe in your home, in your very own home. With your children, you need that. Maybe you're praying for a husband or a wife. God, would you bless me indeed? Hey, why don't you stop looking and why don't you let God to bring? Worked with young adults for years and years. It seems like when they finally give up and yield themselves to the Lord, all of a sudden, a little knock at the heart's door. That's a different message. Are you asking God? Where's the young men that are asking the Lord, God, would you allow me to pastor someday? There's a lot of churches that need pastors. And I'm thinking if we have some young men in the 5 years from now, there's going to be even more. Where are the Christians? Where are the men? Where are the Jabezes that are saying, God, man, I like working, I like doing all that stuff, but that would be awesome if you would allow me to pastor. Serve you full time. Would you send me to the mission field? Who's asking that question? I think so many are afraid that, and God granted him that which he requested. Nobody's asking. I think if you have a desire for missions, that's not normal. I think you should pursue that. I think that's awesome. If I can help you in any way, like pack your bag, like I'll help you. I'll take you places. That's why we do missions trips. So your eye affects your heart. And you'll be reminded that there's a whole world out there that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you'll come back and go, what am I doing here? I pray the Holy Spirit does that, not me. That you would want your coast to expand. To do great things for God, you need to do small things for God. There are many of us that are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us are willing to do little things. D.L. Moody said that. How can the Lord expand a coast that there is no coast? So what are you saying? Get involved. Get involved in your local church. Get involved in Sunday school. Some of you know the Word of God real well. You're like that sponge that's just been soaking it all in. You need to get wrung out a little bit. How many of you ever see those sponges where you touch it and all of a sudden it's got that smell? That's like, mm-mm. That thing's supposed to clean. That thing is dirty. That needs to get wrung out. I don't know how to get that smell. It's like all day, too. I think you have to find like a lemon. Like take lemon zest and rub it in there. Is that? I don't know. I just made that up, but I don't know. What is it? File it down. It's bad. It's like skunk. You can't get that out of there. As putrid as that is, that's kind of how it is, right? You've been taken in. Why don't you get wrung out a little bit? Say, in what way? Why don't you ask the Lord? God, I have a desire to serve you. Would you bless me indeed? What is that blessing? To enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me. And thou mayest keep me from evil. This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. This isn't, God, will you bless me? Will you give me $1 million? The other day, we were sitting at the table, and it was one of those times when your phone listens to you, right? You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, there's an ad for something you were talking about. And say, I hate that. I don't know. It's kind of helpful. And and one of the kids at the table is like, I want $1 million. I want $1 million. That's not what this is. Bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me. He doesn't bless lust. He doesn't bless greed. No, this is doing the work of the Lord, that thou mayest keep me from evil. Hey, do you understand that there's a blessing and a curse that sometimes go hand in hand? And when things are going well and being used by the Lord, hey, there's going to be some temptations that Jabez acknowledges and says, hey, I bet there's some things down the road. Will you keep me from evil? I want to do this and I want to do it right. God blesses that. Hey, I want to have a family and I want to have it right. I want to serve you and I want to serve you right. God, if you would allow me, I want to pastor a group of people for your honor and glory. I want to take the gospel to those that have never heard before. I want to be faithful in my own church. Why don't you expand your coast a little bit? Why don't you ask God? God, would you allow me? Who's Jabez? A guy born in sorrow, doing great things for the cause of Christ. Cause of Christ. For the God of heaven. Say, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm just a kid that grew up on the east side of town from a broken home. Trying to serve the Lord to the fullest. Could you ask the Lord to help you today? Expand your coast. Call on God. Align your will with His. And then watch what the Lord can do. I wonder how many answers would be. And God granted him. And God granted her that which they requested. Why doesn't, maybe because you didn't ask with the right heart and the right attitude. Let's all stand this morning. Why don't you put yourself in a place? I know I just asked you to stand, but listen to this, please. Why don't you put yourself in a place that you can see the Lord work? Aren't you tired of living life just for you? Don't you want to have impact on eternity? Why don't you call upon God? Hey, I'm not saying manufacture some dream and idea, but ask Him, God, will you show me what I can do for you? No one's without. Nobody. God's got a plan. I don't know what it is, but God's got a plan for each of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you bless the time of invitation. Maybe somebody would come forward and request of you to bless them indeed. That you would expand their coasts. That your hand would be with them. That you would keep them from evil. Lord, I pray that you bless this time invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?